ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And the reward we get for our work isn't what we get, it's what we become. And what we have managed to do is we've managed to become a team, and a sports team that will live forever in memory of people who were lucky enough to witness us play cricket.
England captain Ben Stokes, one of the many quotes from the last Ashes series that encapsulated the Bazball ethos. The idea that even when you lose, you can win if you're playing the game the right way, inverted commas. It was the kind of rhetoric that drove Australian cricket fans a little crazy. It's also part of the reason this coming series is so highly anticipated. So is it just us, or have the English camp been a bit understated? Is Bazball still a thing? Are they still doing moral victories? We're going for an English vibe check. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Barney Ronay is the chief sports writer for The Guardian. The common wisdom, Barney, in Australia is that this is the biggest Ashes series ever, you know, a generational clash. And I just wonder whether the build-up in England is quite so large, or whether there's, you know, more interest in Arsenal's hot start to the Premier League, or, you know, how engaged is the English sports fandom with a series that down here is very, very serious right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer to that question will be as annoying to Australia as Bazball is. It's annoying as having to watch 15 back-to-back Ben Duckett press conferences where he talks about manhood and magic beads, I'm afraid. In a way, it's really big here. It's big, but it's big to a small group of people. You know, cricket has always been a minority sport in England, just for the most important, wealthiest and powerful minority. So there are some people who are really wrapped up in this. But cricket itself in England has walled itself up a bit behind a kind of wall of privilege, and football has eaten everything else. So beyond its purview, it's really not there. But within a small group of people, this is massive. And that will be annoying to Australia, because cricket is, I know, the national summer sport, something that's very important to the national sense of itself. And oh no, here come these incredibly annoying Bazball people telling you how to play it.
You've written in recent weeks about the English group kind of having exhibited a dearth of talking s***, and that reality has not gone unnoticed on these shores. By and large, Australian cricket fans, we have not known how to take that. The lack of confrontation is somewhat alarming. Do you suspect this is a tactic, and why is it working so well, Barney?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I know that the England group, Rob Key in particular, was concerned about some of the stuff coming out of the dressing room. I mean, there was a generalised view of, if we can use this word, stop talking so much shit. You know, so they're aware of how this can sometimes sound, that it sounds like a motivational men's group. And they were aware of that. What's interesting about Bazball is, I'm not really sure it exists. I don't know what it is. It seems to involve talking rubbish in press conferences in a really annoying way, and batting slightly more aggressively.
Oh, the reverse scoop. We've waited for the reverse scoop, Joe. And you've nailed your first one for six.
Occasionally paying really terrible shots. And that's about it, really. I don't know what else it is. It's like a football-style philosophy. It's you will have this attitude when you play, which hasn't really happened in cricket. The attitude in cricket is always just to be good at cricket. But this is about being a certain way. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so incredibly annoying to Australian people, because in the past, the idea has been out there, you've got to go and match the Australians. You've got to get in their face. You've got to be aggressive from the first moment. It's Steve Harmison at Lord's bouncing Ricky Ponting. It's Flintoff. It's tall bowlers. But this is not that. It's passive aggressive. It's very undermining. It's sort of saying that thing you really care about, we're going to do it in a different way, and we're going to win in a way which is annoying to you because we're going to appear not to care. And Test cricket is really important to Australian people. It's part of the culture. It's part of the sense of the nation. It's part of the separation from England as well, in that we will repeatedly beat you at the sport by being more disciplined, tougher. The land is harsh. The land is tough. We're products of that land, and we'll beat these fey colonial oppressors. But then you've got this bunch of guys coming over trying to out-cool you, saying, oh, it doesn't matter as much as you make out. We're going to play silly shots. We're going to disregard the orthodoxies.
Just more of the same. Look, I've said it for a long time now that we found a way of cricket which brings the best out of us as a team.
And I don't think that there is a sensible way of responding to that as an Australian. Bazball is incredibly annoying to English people as well. I hope that that's clear. But I can imagine that as an Australian, the idea of losing to a bunch of cool guys who've come over to show you how to do this thing is just absolutely terrifying.
Barney, the beauty of baseball has been the idea that even when you lose, you may win because you're losing in a manner that will save the game. And from down under, it feels like things have kind of shifted from coach Baz McCullum to the likes of Ben Duckett, Ben Stokes, etc. Are we in a new incarnation of this thing?
It's really hard to tell because it's this thing that kind of vanishes whenever you look at it. I don't really know what it is. I mean, essentially, the change under McCullum that came was because England cricket had become this incredibly miserable thing. The actual act of being an international cricketer is really brutal these days. I think Australia looks after its test players better than any other nation. They can earn a really good living. They don't have to go and play in franchise cricket. And it's why this team has been able to carry on winning the way it has. But Mike Brearley has said the best thing about what baseball is. He described it as a response to depression, which is a really interesting take on it. And the fact is, a lot of those players really have been through the mill. But the last series, the one that Stuart Broad publicly voided, the last tour to Australia, was a really deeply traumatic experience for a lot of these people. The ECB had these broadcasting deals. It was actually in quite a lot of debt. It was trying to support recreational cricket through COVID. And it basically just forced the team to keep touring, to keep playing in a bubble. And I think a lot of those players were already kind of worn thin a bit by cricket. Cricket's a brutal game, as we all know. So Brendan McCullum coming in, Stokes becoming captain, I think the idea was we are going to try and enjoy this thing. We're going to try and remember what it was to actually like playing cricket.
But what I have been able to do, I think, is make the 10 other guys out in the field and everyone else in the squad really believe in what we go out there and try and do, whether that be with bat or ball.
And so in its essence, it's quite sort of pure. It's trying to make this a something that doesn't kill these guys and grind them into the dust. So that's where the initial sense of, you know, we're going to just say this doesn't matter so much. We're going to look like we're having fun from the outside, which is a really rare thing. English cricket, very feudal. The players are normally being tortured by selectors, dropped, treated badly. So that's where it came from. And I think the sense of people trying to performatively enjoy themselves became progressively annoying in the first year. It was like the manic side of depression. It was, we're going to talk about this all the time. We're going to pose on the balcony. We're going to say ridiculous things. I don't know where that quite leaves us now. They're not really like that anymore. They're still going to try to bat aggressively and play your own game and all that stuff. But I think they've realised it hasn't really made the team into a world-beating team. England, not that good. They're fourth in the world rankings. They win some extraordinary games. They also chuck games away. They haven't really won away from home. The default in this series should be 3-1 to Australia, even with the injuries, because players who come into the Australian Test team are generally ready to go. The only thing that gives you hope is this unsettling attitude, which is totally different to anything that's ever gone out there before, which comes initially from a good place. But I don't really know what it is, and that's why it's such a fascinating series.
You've described Ben Stokes, Barney, as a destiny man at various times. I think that's so apt. You know, Headingley, Miracle, World Cup final, you name it. What happens if the destiny man fails in this ultimate Australian series, this sort of last frontier?
He may fail. I mean, I think it a lot depends on how his body holds together. Often you'll find the English media doesn't particularly warm to its big stars because they can get incredibly arrogant. They get so much attention and this power is so centralized. I have to say, people do really like Stokes. You know, he is actually a good bloke. And he's someone who is not snotty towards people, does talk to them like they're human beings and all the rest of it. And he's just a hell of an athlete, hell of a cricketer. He's really focused on this series. He's got this 2-year contract extension. He's going to have to bowl. He bowled the other day, got 6 wickets. He's England's best bowler in many ways. He can actually move the ball. He's really skillful. So how he does as a second change, first change seamer is going to be really key to the series. And as Mitch Stark has said, it's incredibly hard on the body. He's got so much credit in the bank. In white ball, you know, he basically won England that World Cup.
Stokes for the far end. He's desperately getting there. Dyche!
Now,
that came off Stokes. If it goes for four, there's nothing they can do about it.
That's four.
There's nothing they can do about it.
What he's done in home Ashes, not winning series, but being a decisive player in individual games. But winning in Australia would make him perhaps the best England captain we've ever had. Who knows? But it would make him immortal.
Speaking of immortals, we're used to a confected war of words leading into a big series. Well, the biggest verbal barbs in Australia have actually been Australian on Australian hostility. And the biggest example of that was Steve Waugh, the ultimate immortal, taking aim at head of selector George Bailey?
Well, George Bailey's going to have to make some tough calls, and I think in the past he's shown that he hasn't really had the appetite for that at times. So he's going to have to step up to the plate with the other selectors.
Is it kind of terrifying or pleasing to see someone like Steve Waugh going after his own?
What are the soft decisions that are being made? I'm not really sure.
I think ultimately it's Usman Khawaja is what they're driving to. That's the best I could deduce.
It's not like anyone else is out there battering down the door to take Khawaja's place. I mean, I'm a bit concerned for Khawaja. I really like Khawaja, and he's a really good player. I love the way he came back and had this late flowering to his career. He's old, and England has some seriously quick bowlers if Mark Wood plays on that pitch. I think Khawaja's series may not last that long. I don't really understand what Steve was. I think it's a reflex among that generation, isn't it? I mean, it's a jostling, because they really were great. You know, they won everything. They baz-balled everyone. They reinvented the way cricket was played. I can remember writing articles about it. This has changed cricket. This Australian team now is also kind of great, hasn't it? I mean, under Cummins, the Cummins era, the Steve Smith era, they won everything. And it's apart from in England, an Ashes series. And I think maybe the way they're good, there's a culture war aspect there. I mean, Pat Cummins is saving the planet, isn't he? He's worried about his carbon footprint. I don't think Steve Waugh's era were particularly worried about that. I think it's internal Australian politics that we don't understand. I don't see any soft decisions being made. The only real issue is how the bowling works. And I don't really see what else Australia could have done differently with that. And now it's a case of wrapping Mitchell Starc in cotton wool, isn't it?
Feels that way. On the bowlers, just finally, no Cummins, no Hazelwood. I'm just interested in how that development is being received. On the one hand, obviously great, you know, from an English perspective that they're missing because they're very, very good. It does mean that Australia has something of an out. You know, we speak about voiding series with Stuart Broad. Australia's done that previously when Warner and Smith have been missing and we've lost to India. Is there, you know, perhaps a level of worry on that front?
Yeah, there is. There's additional pressure because, you know, we know how good Cummins and Hazelwood are. The default option with them playing is Australia win. It just is. You know, Cummins in particular, you can't baz-ball him.
Here comes Pat Cummins, round the wicket to Ben Stokes. Bowled him! He's bowled him! First ball!
Also, it's a vibe. You can't baz-ball the ultimate cricketing alpha, which is Pat Cummins. Like, it just isn't going to work. And yeah, there is a bit of a gulp and a bit of a kind of, you're not going to have a better opportunity than this. What happens with Scott Boland, I think, will decide the series, because England will try to attack him. Not because they don't rate him, because that is just the method. He is the ultimate good bloke Australian cricketer. He's so likeable. He's such a kind of honest, seriously talented bowler. The idea that these arrogant English showboaters are going to come over and just take him on in his own backyard, say, we don't rate this guy, even though he got a 7 for or whatever it was the last time we played him, must be absolutely maddening. And also kind of terrifying that might actually come off and happen. And so I really think that battle is absolutely key. I want to see England bat first on that pitch. And whatever happens, happens. There's no bad outcome here. I really don't mind Boland reducing them to 80 for 6 at lunchtime, because that is an interesting outcome. But one way or another, it's absolutely fascinating.
To paraphrase or misquote Oscar Wilde, the suspense is terrible. We hope it will last. Barney Ronay, thanks so much for your time.
Okay, cheers. Take care. Enjoy the series.
Headlines. The Socceroos have made it 3 straight losses, falling 3-0 to 13th-ranked team Colombia in New York City. The Australians lost last week to Venezuela, and in the last international window, they were beaten by the USA. Scotland has ended a 28-year wait for a FIFA World Cup appearance. Scott McTominay with a bicycle kick as they beat Denmark 4-2.
Lofted in, McTominay! It's brilliant! Oh, my word! Scotland lead in the decider. Hampden is shaking. A roar that rattles the ribs and stirs the soul.
If you like that, how about Curaçao, the island nation that's just north of Venezuela with a population of 160,000, becoming the smallest ever nation to qualify for the tournament?
A result that will resound in Curaçao in history. Celebrations will be erupting back in Willemstad.
And Steph Gilmore will return to the WSL full-time in 2026 as she chases a 9th world title. The Australian has had a 2-year sabbatical but is heading back on tour. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to the ECB, CBS and Stan Sport for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.